Man, this is a really nice shirt.
Oh, you like it? It's my DVMPE shirt.
Yeah, I mean, where could a guy like me get a shirt like that?
Just go to DVMPE.com and click on the store link.
That sounds easy. But I bet a nice shirt like that costs like $50 or more.
Where do you buy clothes? Look, there's a wide range of products at the DVMPE store, from shirts to coffee mugs to buttons. They've even got these cool new watches for sale.
It looks to me like I need to get to the DVMPE store today so I can show my support for the best podcast network all around, the DVM Production Empire.
I like to listen to DVMPE podcasts while drinking coffee out of my DVM Production Empire coffee mug.
Maybe the DVMPE will feature my pictures if I'm wearing a shirt like that and send it to them. What's the website again?
DVMPE.com.
The views and opinions expressed in the following podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the DVM Production Empire. That's how you know it's good.
You're listening to the DVM Production Empire. Backed with content, millions of downloads, taking the world by force. Join the Empire today at DVMPE.com.
Groovy.
Believe all the things that you say. Just what is wrong with you anyway? You're lucky if you have family or friends by the time that they get to the end, cause you're unfucking relatable. For that, there's no relief. Unfucking relatable. Beyond fucking belief.
Hello, my name is David, and I am unfucking relatable. And this is a series of not necessarily related stories about not being able to relate. This week's panel consists of Amanda.
Hi.
And Patrick.
Hey. That was really loud.
Yeah. Neither of you are witness.
Excited.
I'm excited about this.
Neither of you are witness to this story. It happened a great long time ago. Shall we begin?
Of course. I'm very excited.
Growing up in my mother's parents' house, for the majority of my childhood, I was surrounded by little in the way of emotion, unless a constant airing of grievances counts. Accusations and recriminations became a haze of white noise that I could only drown out with cartoons, books, and Michael Jackson albums.
Nice.
The one thing my whole family could agree on, except for my grandfather Cliff, was that we had to worship God. I was raised Catholic, which is to say, I was raised poorly. It always seemed like my aunt, my mother's sister, spearheaded this whole thing like she did everything else. She was so domineering and had nothing else to do but try to control everyone. She's still this way. She poisoned my sister against my mother, and no wounds she inflicted are allowed to heal because the scheming never ends.
Fun.
Back then, she's the one that enrolled all us kids, her kids, my sister and I, in CCD, or Sunday school. To this day, my friend, Hector, who was in last week's episode, he was stuck there with me in CCD, and to this day, his parents still see her in church.
Your aunt?
Yes.
Okay.
When it comes time in Mass to offer your fellow parishioners peace and give a handshake, she stands there and ignores everyone like a stuck-up, belligerent, dried-up cunt.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Tell us how you really feel.
Their words.
Their words.
Okay, my words.
Shio did not use the word cunt. Maybe Hector Sr., but under his breath.
Obviously.
And in Spanish.
Hector, what is cunt in Spanish?
I think it's cunt.
That's good enough.
Puta? I don't know.
Obviously, I realize that not every Catholic is this way. But my aunt is the type that goes to church thinking it excuses her for being a horrible person the other 23 hours of the day. It's people like this with any religious belief that makes the entire idea of organized religion look bad. That and the fact that you're wasting your time hoping an imaginary man in the sky is going to fix your life. But mostly the first thing. One thing that the church, and not my aunt, do that's good is charity work. Especially from the kids who that are going through the confirmation process like I had to. The only thing I really got out of it personally was this story.
Okay.
Nice.
we had to perform X amount of hours during of community service during the confirmation. I don't remember how many, too many probably. I spent most of what I had to, most of the hours that I had to just sending out mailers for the church. Eventually, though, they made me go out into the actual community to do my service.
They made you talk to people? Heathens.
Are you sure you weren't a Jehovah's Witness at this point?
No.
Okay.
I got to wear the clothes I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
That's and I difference. And when I was in that office, they let me play whatever music I wanted to.
Ooh.
Oh, death metal, right?
I did. I was I was listening to, at that time, Rock 103.5.
Oh, yes.
And I remembered tickets for Metallica and Danzig going on sale. And I was like, I'm stuck here and I can't.
Can't call?
I can't call or whatever.
Back when you had to call for tickets somewhere?
Yeah.
Or stand in line?
You have a boy crush on Danzig, don't you?
Don't you?
No, he's just like a hairy muscle. That's all he looks like to me.
Tell me what the appeal is not.
Exactly that, a hairy muscle.
You are horrible. Anyway. They made me lose my place.
You had to do community service.
And you're blushing, too.
That's the drinking. I had to spend 6 hours or so at a convalescent home.
Okay.
Most of it was fine. It's not like I had to clean up bedpans or anything. That being said, the training for the day could have been more in-depth than just, see who needs help.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, a 14-year-old kid just, go just look around, see who needs help.
They could have taught you to give the last rites. That probably would have helped.
Or you could have just given them to people randomly and scared the shit out of them.
Oh. See?
Am I dying? Yes.
Yes, you are.
We're all dying.
Things you should have done. Toward the end of my time there, I helped old folks play bingo. Helping them out with their scorecards. Straight regulating. At the end, I was to help folks back to their rooms. There were no room numbers on wheelchairs, walkers, or wrists, but the residents slash patients would be able to tell you where, presumably.
In theory, yeah.
So I help a few back to their rooms like a valet that pushes wheelchairs. I finally get a lady who can't or won't talk. I ask her if she'd like to head back to her room, not that she had a choice, and she makes a noise that I took as an affirmative.
Do you remember what that noise sounded like?
I do.
Can we hear it?
What was it?
Oh, no. I don't remember what that noise sounded like. There's another noise that's coming that I do remember.
Oh, okay.
So I'm basically pacing the halls, pushing this woman around, looking for empty rooms and asking her if any of them are her stop. She makes no sound at all until we finally get to one particular room. I push her chair into it and ask if this is it for confirmation. There's nothing at first, but as I kind of just let go of the wheelchair, as I turn around to leave, I hear...
Yeah, that's creepy.
Are you sure that wasn't God?
It was kind of like this, a cross between Jason Mewes and the Dumb and Dumber, worst sound in the world.
Nice.
I kind of just push her into a corner of the room so that no one will see her right away if they come in. I make my escape.
Did you murder her, by the way?
No.
No, he just left her in a room alone.
Okay. To make that noise, I make my escape, go back to the chair pool as though nothing happened. No one says anything about it, but the horror of that sound lives on in my mind forever. Or until I end up in a place like that.
Where someone's just going to put you in a random room?
I was thinking, in an actual home. But,
a random room in an actual home?
Yes. I've been to nursing homes and whatnot since. Although I had no responsibility there except for to visit my grandparents. So it's not like nobody really expected me to do anything, especially. I was also... I was also 20 some years later.
And highly trained, obviously, to work in these places.
Very, very much so. I went from stuffing envelopes to
pushing old ladies into the corner.
I like that you just pushed her into the corner so no one would see her. Like, I feel like I would have at least sort of left her in the doorway. Like, somebody will find her. I don't... She's making weird noises.
But I mean, I pushed... And she was facing the corner, too.
Or I might have, you know, pushed her back into the main room and been like, she can't tell me where she belongs.
It was a horrifying sound. I just... And I didn't know this then, but I essentially Blair Witched her.
Oh...
And I would just push her so she's facing the corner.
So she had snot running down her nose.
For all I know, if somebody came in to check on her, they got clubbed in the back of the head or something. I can play a witch. Wow. You walk in, you see the person standing.
Maybe she
in the
was
corner.
The witch.
It's very possible.
Yeah, that's kind of mean.
What would you have done, Pat?
Probably not push a lady into the corner in a random room. Was it a bedroom, though?
It wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay.
It
wasn't like
put
the
her
janitor's
in a broom
closet.
No,
or something.
No.
That she'll never be found in ever.
There were two beds in there, so there.
One of them could have been hers.
Exactly. And even if it wasn't, like her, one of the people who lived there or living there would have been like, oh, hey, she doesn't belong in here.
Yeah, and I love the fact.
We assume someone found her at some point. She's not still sitting in that room going, ah!
Not 25 years later, no.
No,
hey, you never know.
There's just a skeleton in a wheelchair somewhere.
I mean, she would have to be Norma Bates at this point.
Like just a
skeleton in a wheelchair.
Terrifying, yes. Terrifying sister from Pet Sematary that they kept in the closet.
It was pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the fact that you're talking about this, and I'm a Buddhist, and you're bringing a Buddhist in about a Catholic doc.
Well, I'm also not Catholic, so...
Well, I was maybe Catholic at one time. I went to a Catholic high school, so I had to, like...
Pretend?
Pretend, yeah.
Well, she's clearly not sitting there alive today. I can't imagine that's the state when her ghost appears and haunts the place. She's sitting there in that chair.
She is, in fact, haunting that place, and that is the noise she makes.
You don't know...
The Blair Witch
noise. But for all Dave knows, she yelled because she was having, you know, a heart pain or something, and she died in that chair in the corner.
Holy shit, I had not actually ever considered that in all this time.
I'm laughing that an old lady might have died. I'm a terrible person.
And also, as we've learned from this podcast, she was a woman and I did not get her name.
You still don't know her name.
And you didn't date her either. Right?
No, nope. No. So essentially this ended up this.
The ending ends up.
Yeah. Every show will end this way. or every story ends this way. There's a synergy and a symmetry to all of these stories. We just haven't seen it until they all are compiled.
So are you afraid of women then? Is that the reason?
I was afraid of that one.
And obviously the couple other ones from the last episode, too. Or you just don't want to be bothered by them.
That's a general thing I have. I don't like to be bothered by anything.
By old ladies in wheelchairs.
Or anyone. I don't like people asking me questions. I don't like people handing me things.
Then how are you friends with my husband? Because that's one of his favorite games, is to hand people things.
Oh, and you know why that is?
Usually garbage, or... And he loves handing me empty wrappers.
I think you answered your own question. It's because he knows I don't like it.
And I like that you're having...
I stopped taking things from him a long time
ago. That you're having
a
podcast where we actually have to ask you questions and talk to you about it.
You don't have to ask me questions.
I am gonna come to your defense just a little bit. When I was... in high school, well, in middle school, but I was in, you know, choir and theater and stuff, and every year, probably twice a year, like around Easter and around Christmas, we would go to the local retirement home and put on a little concert for the residents.
It sounds horrifying.
It was always so uncomfortable because it was a lot of elderly people, you know, a lot of...
And the smell.
Not just that elderly people are gross, but like, because, you know, I have grandparents, they're not gross, but like, they always, oh, come here, honey, let me give you a hug, come here, and they want to be around young people. It's like they're like vampires. They think that if they touch you, they'll get some of your youth. It's weird.
It's like that episode of Angel.
I just want to point out these are human beings we're talking
about. Yeah, exactly.
Nick, you are the engineer. You will keep your mouth shut.
Also, I remember the day that the guy sitting in his wheelchair's colostomy bag came undone and just urine was everywhere and none of us knew what to do.
Well, it could have been
rum.
Grab a parka.
And he's just sort of like drooling and flailing and there's piss everywhere. And we were all, you know, we're kids. We were just like, what? Keep singing. Okay, we're good. Fa la 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 la. So yeah, just sending children into convalescent homes and not giving them any instruction and then telling them that they have to deal with these people, which nurses and nurses' aides and whatnot have actual lots of training on how to deal with this type of thing.
Right. Well, how much training... I wasn't even an orderly. Come on, dude.
How much training do you need to be a human being and treat another human being like a human being? And be able to at least be
I helped her back to her room.
I don't know where to put you, so I'm just going to put you, in the hallway where someone's going to find
you. Like I said, I probably would have just pushed her back to the group and been like, yeah. I don't know where this one goes, and she can't tell me. So I don't know what to do.
I was 14 years old.
You were 14? I was picturing more like 8 or 9. You're 14 years old?
Yes.
I think you should have had more sense at that point, yeah.
You'd think that. I was... Also, were you there,
on LSD during this time?
I was there under protest.
So you had a picket.
As I was with anything that had to do with church. I just kind of got dropped off there one day. And I knew my, like, this was, it was shortly, thankfully, like, I knew, this is like when you're at the end of your work day and you're like, I'm just going to slough off for this last few minutes and no one's going to notice.
Yeah.
That's basically what probably the first time that that ever really occurred to me to be like, well, I'm almost done. Like, my ride will be here any minute.
But when I slough off, I don't return an email, maybe, or two, and you push old ladies into the corner.
All right, there might have been email.
Nobody puts ladies into the corner, Dave.
Dave does.
I do.
Yeah, Dave obviously does.
All right, well...
I'm literally just picturing you just, like, looking to your left and to your right, and then just sort of pushing her into the corner and just backing away slowly.
Accurate. it was not... This show isn't called Moments I Was Proud.
But you have those moments, though, at some point.
They're definitely not worth talking about.
But the ones that you're not, that's the ones.
Well,
that
sure.
Yeah, I see. I see.
I mean, have you...
I've never pushed a lady into a...
Have you ever pushed a lady anywhere?
Random room. I have pushed plenty of ladies plenty of places, but never in a random room and left them facing the wall.
It's not random. It's not like I took her to a strip mall and just like... pushed her into a dress barn and took the fuck off.
She had more chance for survival if you did, actually.
Let's be frank. She had no chance of survival no matter where. There's a reason you get put in those places.
Hence the reason why you should have given her her last rites, at least.
I am not qualified for that, just as much as I wasn't qualified to do...
Push up ladies into random rooms.
Even to their... Look, most... Almost... They should have at least put a room number on the fucking thing. On the wheelchair or like a wristband, something.
Or someone should have been, I guess...
supervising?
Supervising, because the people that work at that home should know which residents are, you know, have all their faculties about them and which residents can't really communicate and need extra assistance.
Their instructions were, just like everything else, see who needs help. And they were lined up like it was a valet line.
So how many other people did you just leave the
day? I did not leave. Was this, by the way?
It is not far from here, if it still exists.
And are you hoping that at some point your aunt is in it and you get to push her into a corner and leave her there?
I would push her somewhere else entirely.
You're going to push her down the stairs?
I will neither confirm nor deny.
It's going to be like that scene in Mac and Me where you just push her down a hill? see if she flies.
It's the fact that you can equate anything to any scene in Mac and Me
is why we're friends.
That's actually life. You could just compare life to Mac and Me. Everything that's happened in there is life.
What part of... We're going to get off
topic. I've never actually seen this
movie. I was going to say, because we were going to get off topic, and I wanted to know what part of Mac and Me you related to.
Never seen the movie.
Dave, you're painting an excellent picture of what your Flatliners episode would look like.
Flatliners episode? Is that a show?
No, the movie.
Just like what happens to you when you flatline, I think is what
So I will ever be reliving that moment?
Yeah. Because you die and I felt like back.
I think I already demonstrated in just two episodes that the first episode is something that keeps happening to me over and over again.
Maybe you're already flatlining.
I'm going out of my... I go out of my way to avoid old people now. So
you don't have to.
So you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe that will haunt me because I spent so much time running away from it.
Yeah.
That's true, and I do sort of feel bad about the fact that
that you killed an old lady.
No, we're gonna...
Dave's hell slash nightmare is him in a wheelchair in the corner with hot women dancing around him, and all he can do is go.
Wait, to be fair, though, what does he do
option,
now?
Is it an option?
I think that's what he does currently.
But hold on. Is it an option for me to just make no sound, at least? Because
no,
I'll choose that.
No, you have to make that terrible sound because it's your hell.
But am I old and can't hear it?
No, you can hear it.
Oh, that's horrible.
You're just forced to repeat it over and over again.
Well, wouldn't it be worse if I just had to hold the note?
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It would be
There's
bad
no
for...
relief.
No relief.
Yeah, there's no relief in life. That's the whole purpose of life.
And that's the lesson we learned this week, that there is no...
Or instead of at the wall, someone has faced you at a TV screen where you just have to constantly watch Seth Rogen movies on a loop.
Oh, Seth Rogen.
That is pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, I have a general hard time with old folks. They seem to love me. I don't know why.
They probably
they
think
like
you're,
young people.
Yeah, they think you're their grandson.
Which is odd because my grandfather thought I was my father towards the end. Which is especially weird because he'd been dead since 2001.
Well, Alzheimer's will do that.
Yeah. Well, yes. But I wasn't there when he passed away. It's a whole death thing, obviously.
Is this confession now?
Isn't it all?
Should I be blessing you and telling you
to say Buddhist, so Hail
Marys?
You have to... What's he going to come back as, Pet?
Ooh.
Yeah, I would say...
A dung beetle to represent all the colostomy bags.
That's worse than what I was going to go with. I was going to go with, like, cockroach or something. Maybe.
I'll live forever, then.
Yeah, you will. You will.
Well, that's a fate worse than death, too.
In a corner. In some random room.
Yep. Behind a wall.
I mean, it's not like the walls were, like, soundproofed or something where somebody wasn't going to eventually hear.
But she couldn't talk, you said.
She was making the noise!
So you think they're going to hear that noise in that home?
I was just giving
everybody makes that
look,
noise.
I was just giving myself enough time so that I could make my escape. And then, nobody asked me about it. So I assume that eventually they found her.
Did you at least check to make sure nobody saw you do this?
I don't think so.
So is this something that... Like, I feel like if I had done this, it would have stressed me out for a really long time. Like, I would have just been thinking about it, like, I left an old lady in a corner.
I did not think...
Oh my God, I left... Shit, what did I do?
I admit that...
I hope someone found her. Is she still there? And I, like... I don't have a lot of problems with anxiety, but I think this would have given me anxiety. Like, I would have been worrying that she was just, like, still there a week
I figured
later.
This all out. So that is the start of your women problems, is you putting...
I don't
you ignoring
think that's
this,
true, but,
You ignoring you this old lady. So now you have to live a life where you ignore women coming on to you.
Or just
never knowing their
name.
Altogether. Yeah.
I will say that this did... I mean, I said, like, that sound haunted me for a long time.
The sound, not the fact that you...
yes. Admittedly, just the sound's the only thing that... When the show became more of a rock-solid thing that was going to happen, I had to start thinking of all of these kind of stories, and I don't think I... This is the oldest story of the season, and I hadn't thought about it in a very long time, and I have no idea where I remembered, some of these were easy. None of it's easy. I mean, I'll put it that way. none of this is easy to admit to or whatever. But this was the one that, like, most of them are, I recall easily, because I have a lot of regret. And
this is your way of
No.
Putting it past you. Having people make fun of this, then.
Yes.
Like, that's your way to repent.
Yeah. Next week will be far worse for that.
Awesome.
It's not going, next week, you know what? Next week I am the victim.
Okay.
And in a legitimate way this time, not like where I just blame people for the,
for making noises when you push them in the
corner. Or not making me do things that I should be doing.
Nick, you've listened to a lot of podcasts. Has anyone ever done an episodic suicide note before?
No, this would be the first.
Thanks, guys who aren't in this episode. You're back next week, Paul. You can wait a little bit longer.
All right.
Go back to your puzzle.
We make Paul do puzzles, so... Keeps him busy.
He, idle hands and all that.
Idle hands leave old ladies in corners. You're welcome.
Yeah. That's fabulous. Yeah, so I think that's all we have time for this week. if you want to leave any creepy old lady stories for me to read and make me feel a little bit better about myself in general, because God knows I need it.
Or just
these.
Any unfucking relatable social awkward stories, because Dave is putting it all out there and it's our job to give him a lot of shit, but let's face it, we all have these stories.
But
Nick is shaking his head. I've been there for like six of his, so.
Yeah.
Season two. There you go. So yeah, if you have a story that maybe you don't you feel like is needs to be said, but you don't necessarily want to tell people, you don't have to give your name. If you
use the anonymity of the internet,
yeah, it's a wonderful thing. You can send me a message to Unfucking Relatable on Facebook. You can tweet me at Unrelatable Cast. That's a terrible Twitter handle. I'm sorry, but
you should be.
See, that I'm sorry about.
Aww.
That's the sad part.
Not about killing old ladies.
I didn't kill anybody.
He didn't kill her. He just left her.
To dead, yeah.
To be fair, her family did that long before I did.
That's true. If her family really loved her, she'd be living with
them. So there you go. Not my fault. Her family's fault.
That pays for her to be in that home.
Because they just don't care enough.
Actually, you don't know that her family pays for it.
That's true.
My grandmother had to divorce her second husband so that she could pay her bills, because all of her savings got used up on his assisted living.
Was he with his did he have his faculties?
He had Alzheimer's.
So you can divorce a person with Alzheimer's.
It's called a Social Security divorce, because she married him a month before she turned 65. A month before she turned 65, so she could not claim her first husband's Social Security benefits. And by divorcing her second husband, she could then claim her first husband's Social Security benefits, and then could not lose her home and help pay the medical bills for her second husband. Because my biological grandfather died before I was born, so. But yeah, so, you know.
That's why I got a divorce, too.
Yes.
Same exact reason.
Well, yeah.
Both of my divorces, by the way.
You
don't necessarily know that her family was even paying for it. She could have been paying for it.
So thank you for bringing us down even further.
Sorry.
That's fantastic.
Also, I want to reiterate that my comments earlier about elderly people wanting to touch me. Yes, I recognize the elderly are people too. However, I am under no obligation to let anyone touch me.
You know what?
Who they are.
We were going to end there, but I do feel like there's an important
Me Too moment.
Totally. No, absolutely. And I don't know that I don't know that people are necessarily consciously perverts. Not everybody is what I mean. There are people who might just be inadvertently handsy and have never been taught that that's not okay.
So you're denying all these people that have been...
I'm not denying anything. I'm talking about one specific instance or one specific person. At my job, there's this weird old man...
That touches you.
He likes to, when he, first of all, he comes in to make a payment and spends way too much time in the office. I don't need you to talk to me for 45 minutes.
Well, he's lonely.
I don't care.
He doesn't have a life.
I know. But he also doesn't need to spend that much time. We have a Keurig. Get your Earl Grey or whatever the fuck it is.
Is that in the Drink corner it. In a random room too?
It's in the corner of the office, not a random room. Okay. And it's video surveilled. So don't worry.
I'm worried about them stealing the coffee, yeah.
Well, he makes himself a cup of tea and then, like I don't see it, pockets a hot cocoa for later. But that's not the egregious part. It's the fact that he likes to get too close to me and talk and then just randomly grab my shoulders.
Because I thought you were going somewhere else.
Because he thinks because he thinks that we're alike. We are not.
Have you ever told him don't stand
that,
so close
that
to
probably
me?
Means that you are.
I have to remember to stay on camera when he's there so that if he does try to grab me again, I'm going to punch him, and it will.
Or you could just politely say, "Please don't touch me, sir."
Or you could push him in the corner.
Yeah,
there is a corner in the office that is not under video surveillance, and I could beat him senseless.
Well, don't do that.
See, I wasn't trying to help you formulate that plan.
I was just thinking of, like, when I was a kid, there was a family friend, and I think we've all known it's almost always a woman. A great aunt or a grandparent or a family friend. Nick is pinching his cheeks. Yes. People of the world, don't pinch other people's cheeks.
I thought we were going to talk about that.
No one likes that. But she not only would pinch the cheeks, but she would always come sit on my lap and give me some sugar. And I hated doing it. And my mom would always make me do it. And I would have to sit on this woman's lap and she would just smother me in just old lady slobbery kisses all over my face.
Did she also smother you with her old lady boobs?
Yeah, she was a big woman.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know, now parents don't make their children go hug people.
That's not all parents, but yeah, that's a new movement.
It's a new
thing. Something that I never thought of, teaching your children that they do in fact have autonomy over their own bodies and shouldn't have to sit on someone's lap and give them some sugar just because they asked you to.
Also, that's your relative. Gross.
She wasn't my relative.
Oh, I thought you said she was your aunt.
No, it's usually like a great aunt.
Oh,
no, she was like one of my grandma's friends. I don't know how way worse. We knew this woman.
Yeah.
She's pimping you
Her
out.
Her name was Rose.
They're all named Rose. Or
the woman you pushed in the corner is probably
Rose
her
or
name
Ruth.
Was
I like to think Blanche. That she's a Gladys.
Or Mildred.
Or Myrtle.
She may be all of these things. She is all of these things.
No, she's not.
She's none of these things.
She's none of these things.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I guess what we've learned is that touching, be it from relatives or just old people in general, is a bad thing. So you shouldn't have to have old people touch you, and you shouldn't have to deal with them if you have no training. So thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
God.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Amanda, for
thanks for having us.
Your
it was beautiful
invaluable contribution.
Pat is in the medical field, too. So
I was in the medical field.
Oh, you're not
anymore? he couldn't stand the old people smell either.
Yeah.
He just stuck people with needles all the time.
Yeah, and I couldn't stand the smell of their blood. So the old people blood, it stinks.
Does it smell like mothballs and Charlie perfume?
Yes. Yes, it does, actually. You nailed it.
Charlie perfume.
That's my grandma's favorite perfume.
Did they even still make that?
Yeah, and she loves it.
I thought she might have bought every bottle from 1996.
Nope.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you. And until next week, I'm David. I am unfucking relatable. This is my life, and you're just laughing at it. We'll be right back.
Memoriam Development.
Got an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? You're not alone. There are literally thousands of people out there with great podcast ideas for either their businesses or simply for entertainment, but they don't know the first thing about podcasting. The DVM Production Empire has been successfully producing high-quality podcasts since 2009 and has received millions of downloads. Yes, millions. And now the DVMPE has decided to pull back the curtain and offer their podcast production services to the rest of the world. Unlike some other podcast companies, our team will work with you from the creation of your podcast idea all the way to getting it released to the marketplace. We work with you in three different phases. The development phase, which includes getting your ideas to a workable action plan, the creation of your RSS feed, and if you don't have your own artwork already, we can help you with that too. Next is the hosting phase, which includes a safe place to launch and house your podcast episodes. And of course, the distribution phase, where we deliver your content to major podcast markets like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Podomatic, and many more. We'll do all of this for just $10 a month plus a one-time setup fee. So what are you waiting for? Call or email us for a free consultation today.